Ladies and gentlemen, I am not simply going to say, and now for something completely different this week, as I do not think it fit. This is a particularly auspicious occasion for us this evening, as we have been told that Her Majesty the Queen will be watching part of this show tonight. We don't know exactly when Her Majesty will be tuning in. We understand that at the moment she is watching the Virginian. We have been promised that we will be informed the moment that she changes channel. Her Majesty would like everyone to behave quite normally, but her equerry has asked me to request all of you at home to stand when the great moment arrives. Although we here in the studio will be carrying on with our humorous vignettes and spoofs in the ordinary way. Thank you. And now, without any more ado and completely as normal, here are the opening titles. Miners of Wales have long been famed for their tough, rugged life, hewing the black gold from the uncompromising hell of 1 mile under. This is the story of such men, battling gallantly against floods, roof falls, the English criminal law, the hidden killer carbon monoxide, and the ever-present threat of pneumoconiosis, which is a disease miners get.
To me like that, a lying bastard.
Oh, a bleeding pig in that fit to be down a mine.
Oh, that's typical bleeding rounder, isn't it? You think I'm so bloody clever?
All right, okay. You bloody fighting again. Break it up and I'll put this pig through your head. Now, what's it all about?
He started it.
Oh, you bleeding pig, you started it.
I don't get who bloody started it. What's it about?
Well, he said the bloody Treaty of Utrecht was 1713.
So it bloody is.
No, it bloody isn't. It wasn't ratified till February 1714.
He's bluffing. Your mind's gone, Jenkins. You're rubbish.
He's right, Jenkins. It was ratified September 1713. The old bloody pit knows that. Look at him in Trevelyan, page 468.
He's the Treaty of Bloody Westphalia.
Are you saying I don't know the difference between the War of Bloody Spanish Succession and the 30 Bloody Years War?
You don't know the difference between the Battle of Borodino and a tiger's bum.
Break it up! I'm sick of all this bloody fighting! It's not the bloody Treaty of Utrecht, it's the bloody binomial theorem. It's in the senior common room at All Souls, it's the bloody cold face.
Hey, Gaffer, can you settle something? Morgan here says you find the abacus between the triglyphs in the frieze section of the entablature of classical Greek Doric temples.
You bloody fool, Morgan, that's the metope. The abacus is between the architrave and the echinus in the capital.
You stinking liar!
Magnificent and merciful Majesty, Master of the Universe, Protector of the meek, whose nose we are not worthy to pick, and whose very feces are an untrammeled delight, and whose peacocks keep us awake all hours of the night with their noisy lovemaking. We beseech thee, tell thy humble servants the name of the section between the triglyphs in the frieze section of a classical Doric entablature.
No idea. Sorry.
Right, everybody else!
Still no settlement in the coal mine dispute at Clan Darrow. Miners refuse to return to work until the management define a metope. Meanwhile, at Dagenham, the unofficial strike committee at Ford's have increased their demands to 30 reasons why Henry III was a bad king. And finally, in the Disgusting Objects International at Wembley tonight, England beat Spain by a plate of braised pus to a putrid heron. And now, the toad elevating moment.
Good evening. Well, we have in the studio tonight a man who says things in a very roundabout way. Isn't that so, Mr. Puddyfoot?
Yes.
Have you always said things in a very roundabout way?
Yes.
I can't help noticing that for someone who claims to say things in a very roundabout way, your last two answers have had very little of the discursive quality about them.
Oh, well, I'm not very talkative today. It's a form of defensive response to intense interrogative stimuli. I used to get it very bad when I was a boy. Well, when I say badly, in fact, do you remember that passion they had for little, you know, poodles
with small coats? You're beginning to talk in a roundabout way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please do carry on, because that isn't, in fact, why we wanted you on the show.
I thought it was because you were interested in me in the human being.
Well, let's move on to our next guest, who not only lives in Essex, but also speaks only the ends of words, Mr. On If. Mr. If, good evening.
Good evening.
Nice to have you on the show.
I saw it here.
Mr. If, don't you find it very difficult to make yourself understood?
Yes, it is extremely difficult.
Just a minute, you're a fraud!
Oh, no, I can speak the third and fourth sentences perfectly normally.
Oh, I see, so your next sentence will be only the ends of words again.
It's it.
Well, let's move on to our next guest, who speaks only the beginnings of words, Mr. Jusma. Mr. Jusma, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, have you two met before? Well, this is really a fascinating occasion because we have in the studio Mr. Oh, it, who speaks only the middles of words. Good evening.
Good evening.
And where do you come from?
Oh, yeah.
Dunfermline in Scotland. Well, let me introduce you, Mr. John Smith.
What ink?
Mr. Jusma. Yes, well, just a moment. Perhaps you'd all like to say good evening together.
Good evening.
Hi there, beautiful.
Hi, Bob. Hey, what's the matter with you?
I don't know, Tom, but girls seem to avoid me these days.
Could be bad breath, Bob.
Say, have you tried using Crelm toothpaste?
Gosh, Tom, do you think that would help?
You bet your boots it will, Bob.
Tom was sure right. Crelm has changed my life. Hi, girls.
This table has been treated with ordinary soap powder, but these have been treated with new Fibroval. We put both of them in our washing machine, and just look at the difference. The table is all broken and smashed, but the keys with Fibroval are sparkling clean and white.
Surgical garment. Enjoy the delights of the Victor Mature abdominal corset. Sail down the Nile on the Bleed It Kosher Truss. And don't forget the Hercules Holderman, the all-purpose concrete truss for the man with a family hernia.
Well, last week on Fish Club, we learned how to sex a pike. And this week we're going to learn how to feed a goldfish. Now, contrary to what most people think, the goldfish has a ravenous appetite. If it doesn't get enough protein, it gets very thin, its bones begin to stick out, and its fins start to fall off. So once a week, give your goldfish a really good meal. Here's one specially recommended by the Board of Irresponsible People. First, some cold consomme or gazpacho. Then some sausages with spring greens, soaked potatoes, bread, and meat.
The RSPCA wish it to be known that that man was not a bona fide animal lover, and also that goldfish do not eat sausages. Shut up! They are quite happy with breadcrumbs, ants, eggs, and... Who wrote that?
I hope you're enjoying the show. Thank you.
Herbert Mendel collects birdwatchers' eggs. At his home in Surrey, he has a collection of over 400 of them.
Hey, now, this is a very interesting one. This is from a Mr. P.F. Bradshaw. He's usually found in Surrey Edge Road, but I found this one in the gents at St. Pancras.
Mr. Mendel, why did you start collecting birdwatchers' eggs?
Oh, well, I did it to get a man alive.
Man alive?
That's right, yes. But then that got all serious, so I carried on in the hope of a quick appearance as an eccentric on the regional section of Nationwide.
Mr. Mendel, I believe a couple of years ago you started to collect butterfly hunters.
Butterfly hunters?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. There's a couple of them over here, see? Right to the chat. But the hobby I enjoyed most was racing pigeon fanciers.
I've been in touch with you about the life insurance.
Ah, yes. Did you bring the specimen of your so on and so on?
Yes, I did. It's in the car.
Good.
There's rather a lot.
Good.
Do you really need 12 gallons?
No, not really.
Did you test it?
No.
Well, why do you want it?
Well, we do it to make sure that you're serious about wanting insurance. I mean, if you're not, you won't spend a couple of months filling up that enormous churn with so on and so on.
Shall I bring it in?
Lord, no. Throw it away.
Throw it away? I was months filling that thing up.
And we've just heard that Her Majesty the Queen has just tuned into this programme, and so she is now watching this royal sketch here in this royal set. The actor on the left is wearing the great grey suit of the BBC wardrobe department, and the other actor is about to deliver the first great royal joke here, this royal evening. Over to the right, you can see the royal cameraman, and behind... Oh, we just heard she's switched over. She's watching news at 10.
Oh. Despite the union's recommendation that the strikers should accept the second and third clauses of the agreement arrived at last Thursday. They saw the publication of the McGuffey Commission's controversial report on treatment of inpatients in North London hospitals.
Get on, play! Ha ha! hospitals where you get the patients lying around in bed. Resting, recuperating, convalescing. Well, that's not the way we do things here, right? No, you won't be loafing about in bed, wasting the doctor's time. You horrible little cripple. What's the matter with you?
Fractured tibia, Sergeant.
Fractured tibia, Sergeant. Ooh. Proper little mummies, boy, are we? Well, I'll tell you something, my fine friend. If you fracture tibia, yeah, you keep quiet about it. Look at him. He's broke both his arms and he don't go shouting about it, do he? No, because he's a man. He's a woman, you see. Don't go tibia's off with me. Get on for each other, double. 1, 2, 3, pick that crutch up. Pick that crutch right up. Squat! Son! Squat right! Son! Squat by the left! Quick! Limp! Come on, take it after! Get some air in those wounds!
Parents and Poobs, we believe in ART. Active recuperation techniques. We try to help the patient understand that however ill he may be, he can still fulfill a useful role in society. Sun lounge, please, Mr. Griffiths.
Well, I got a triple fracture of the right leg, dislocated collarbone, and multiple head injuries. So I do most of the heavy work, like helping the surgeon.
What does that involve?
Well, at the moment, we're building in my holiday home.
What about the nurses?
Oh, well, I don't know about them. They're not allowed to mix with the patients.
Does all the patients work?
No. The ones that are really ill do sport.
Yes, one thing patients here dread are the rabbits. How are you feeling?
Much better.
But the patients are allowed visiting. And this week they're visiting an iron foundry at Swindon, which is crying out for unskilled labour. But this isn't the only hospital where doctors' conditions are improving.
No, we have very little shortage of doctors here. We have over 40 doctors per bed. A patient. I'll be honest, bed.
We've every facility here for dealing with people who are rich. We can deal with a blocked purse, we can drain private accounts, and in the worst cases, we can perform a total cachectomy, which is total removal of all monies from the patient.
Well, here we try to help people who have to link sketches together. We try to stop them saying, have you ever wondered what it would be like if, and instead to say something like, and now the mountaineering sketch.
Well, I haven't written a mountaineering sketch, but now over to the exploding version of the Blue Danube.
A dormitory in a girls' public school.
Hello, Agnes? Agnes, are you awake? Agnes? Agnes.
Who is it? Is that you, Charlie?
Yeah, Agnes. Where's Jane?
I'm over here, Charlie. Jane, we're going down to raid the tuck shop.
Oh, good-o. Come in, girls.
Can I come too, Agnes?
Yeah, Joyce. And me and Avril.
Yeah, Martha. And Sookie. Oh, what out of diddle-o.
TV girls, here comes Miss Rogers.
All right, girls. Now stop this tomfoolery and get back into bed. Remember, it's the big match at St. Bridget's tomorrow.
Yes, on your screen tomorrow, the naughtiest girl in the school, starring the men of the 14th Marine Commando. And now it's documentary time, when we look at the momentous last years of the Second World War. And tonight, the invasion of Normandy, performed by the girls of Oakdean High School, Upper Fifth Science.
Dinners, I wish to join my husband, Admiral O.W.A. Giveaway, in condemning this shoddy misrepresentation of our modern Navy. The British Navy is one of the finest and most attractive and butchest fighting forces in the world. I love those white flared trousers and the feel of rough blue serge on those pert little buttocks.
I'm afraid we are unable to show you any more of that letter. We continue with a man with a stoat through his head. And now...
Still no sign of land.
How long is it?
That's rather a personal question, sir.
You stupid bitch! I meant how long we've been in the lifeboat.
You've spoiled the atmosphere now.
I'm sorry.
Shut up! We'll have to start again.
Still no sign of land.
How long is it?
33 days, sir.
33 days.
I don't think we can hold out much longer.
I don't think I did spoil the atmosphere.
Shut up!
I'm sorry, I don't think I did.
Of course you did!
Do you think I spoiled the atmosphere?
Well, I think
you're... Look, shut up! Shut up!
Still no sign of land.
How long is it?
33 days.
Can we start it again?
Oh!
Still no sign of land.
How long is it?
33 days, sir.
33 days?
Yes. We can't hold out much longer. We haven't had any food since the fifth day.
We're done for! We're done for! Shut up, Maudlin!
We've just got to keep hoping. Someone will find us.
Oh, you really, Captain?
Not so good. I feel so weak.
We can't hold out much longer.
Listen, James. It's one last chance.
I'm done for. I've got a gammy leg and I'm going fast. I'll never get through, but... some of you might. So you'd better eat.
Eat your son?
Yes, eat me.
With a gammy leg?
The leg, Thompson. There's still plenty of good meat. Look at that arm.
It's not just the leg, sir.
You mean?
Wash it. It's just that...
Why don't you want wheat, Ben?
I'd rather eat Johnson, sir.
Oh, so would I, sir.
I see.
Well, that's settled. Everyone eats me.
Well, I, what's that? No, no. You go ahead. I won't.
Nonsense, sir. You're starving. Tuck in.
No, it's not just that. What's the matter with Johnson, sir? Well, he's not kosher.
Depends how we kill him, sir.
Yes, yes, I see that, but, well, to be quite frank, I like my meat a little more lean. I'd rather eat Hodges. Oh, well, all right.
No, I still prefer to eat Johnson.
And we should all stop bickering and eat me.
Look, I tell you what. Why don't those of us who want to eat Johnson, then you, sir, can eat my leg, and then we can make a stock of the captain, and then after that we can eat the rest of Johnson cold for supper.
Good thinking, Hodges.
Finish off with peaches.
Well, we can start off with the avocado.
Yes, waitress. Waitress, we've decided now we're going to have our leg of Hodges.
Dear sir, I'm glad to hear that your studio audience disapproves of the last skit as strongly as I. As a naval officer, I abhor the implication that the Royal Navy is a haven for cannibalism. It is well known that we now have the problem relatively under control, and that it is the RAF who now suffer the largest casualties in this area. But what do you think the Argyles ate in Aden? Arabs? Yours, etc., Captain B.J. Smethig in a white wine sauce with shallots, mushrooms, and garlic.
Let's have a sketch about clean, decent human beings.
Morning.
Ah, good morning.
What will I do for you, Squawk?
Well, I wonder if you can help me. You see, my mother's just died.
Oh, yeah, we can help you. We deal with stiffs.
What?
Well, there are three things we can do with your mother. We can burn her, bury her, or dump her.
Dump her?
Dump her in the Thames.
What?
Oh, did you like her?
Yes.
Oh, well, we won't dump her then. Well, what do you think? We can bury her or burn her.
Well, which do you recommend?
Well, they're both nasty. If we burn her, she gets stuffed in the flames, crackle, 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 which is a bit of a shock if she's not quite dead, but quick. And then we give you a handful of the ashes, which you can pretend were hers.
Oh.
Or, geez. If we bury her, she gets eaten up by lots of weevils and nasty maggots. Which, as I said before, is a bit of a shock if she's not quite dead.
I see. Well, she's definitely dead.
Where is she?
Oh, she's in the set.
Come on! She looks quite young.
Yes, yes, she was.
Fred!
Yeah? I think we've got Anita.
What? I'll get the oven on.
Right.
Excuse me, are you suggesting eating my mother?
Yeah, not raw, cooked.
What?
Roasted, two French fries, broccoli, horseradish sauce.
Well, I do feel a bit peckish.
Great!
Can we have some parsnips?
Great, get some parsnips.
I really don't think I should.
Look, tell you what, we'll eat her. If you feel a bit guilty about it afterwards, we can dig a grave and you can throw up in it.